Okay, Chaver, so let's begin. We're learning Maseches Sukkah, and the first Mishnah told us that a Sukkah that is above 20 Amos is not kosher. That's the first halacha. I think now it's Facebook official. So.
I'm actually sending up a different verse, a fundraising thing.
Okay.
That's right.
Whatever. So the Mishnah tells us that sukkah that is over 20 amos tall is possible. That's the Mishnah. And the Gemara raises the question, Minahani Mili, what is the source for a sukkah being possible if it's over 20 amos? And what we'll see is that there are three separate reasons that are mentioned in the Gemara. Three separate reasons. Rabbah is going to say that the reason why a sukkah over 20 amos is possible is because
Leman Yedud
Doroteichem, that you have to know somehow that you're sitting in the sukkah, and if the sukkah is above 20 amos, so apparently you don't know that you are in the sukkah. That is Rabbah's understanding. Reb Zeira's understanding is that you need sail, meaning that the shade has to come from the schach. If the sukkah is above 20 amos, so we have some law of Talmudic physics that tells me that if a sukkah is over 20 amos, the shade is coming from the walls rather than from the schach. Therefore, it is no good. And Rava tells me a third reason, that the reason why a sukkah above 20 amos is no good is because it has to be diras arai. A sukkah, by definition, has to be temporary. And a sukkah over 20 amos is permanent, or is definitely permanent, or could be permanent, or something or another. We'll have to kind of figure this out as we go on. So I'd like to take these reasons apart. Within Rabbah's reason, that the source of a sukkah over 20 is not kosher is because of leman yedu daroteichem, that you have to know that you are in the sukkah. The way the Gemara says it is ad esrim ama adam yodeya shehudar besukkah, lemala me esrim ama in adam yodeya shedar besukkah, mishum delo shalta ba ina. Okay, who wants to explain this one to me?
Seems like if it doesn't catch your eye that you're in the sukkah, then you wouldn't know.
So you don't know that you're in the sukkah because the eye doesn't catch it. So if I would categorize the psul according to Rabbah, is it a psul in the cheftza of the sukkah? Is it a psul in the mitzvah of yeshivas sukkah?
Yeshiva.
It seems like it's a psul in yeshivas sukkah. Right? Now, of course, what we developed in our introductory shiur is that yeshiva sukkah is found in the second parak of Masechah Sukkah. The first parak of Masechah Sukkah is not about yeshiva sukkah, but it's about
binyan
hasukkah, the construction of the sukkah, the cheftza of the sukkah, like we're in, you know, yeshivas brisk America, so like we'll speak about, like, brisker terms, the cheftza of the sukkah. So, what exactly is going on over here?
Well, the whole point of building the kosher sukkah is that it functions properly when you go to do
so. Obviously, right, so what Zoe is suggesting is that the two dinim are interconnected. The din of building a kosher sukkah is to enable one to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
So it certainly is possible, although, you know, we were trying to give like neat categorization. Yeshiva sukkah versus the building of the sukkah. And I think what you're doing now is just saying, okay, categories are very nice in theory, but practically speaking, it doesn't. They overlap. I think that's what
Even
you're saying.
Even like the conversations we had in the beginning about the tzeil, the first sukkah that we did, like, it's all
right,
for the sake of a person's experience inside the sukkah when they go to do the mitzvah. So it's.
So obviously there is a certain overlap, but I want to just take a look at Rashi. Rashi leman yedu. So I think there are a few chidushim in the Rashi, so to speak. Zokt Rashi, leman yedu'u. So Rashi writes, asei suka sheyeshivata nikeret lecha. Dichtiv yedu'u ki basukot hoshavti. Okay, who wants to explain this one? Asei suka, right? Zokt Rashi, that you should build a suka that the yeshiva is nicker to you, because the pasuk says ki basukot hoshavti, which means tzivisi leishev. Is that what it means? Hoshavti, right? Translate the words, right? Let's go back, right? Hoshavti. What does it mean? I made the Jewish people sit. Zakt Rashi tzivisi leishev. Right. So this is already double talk within the Rashi. No. First Rashi says asei suka. Make a sukkah. Then Rashi writes, "Tzivisi leishev" means I command you to live in a sukkah. Well, there's another pasuk that speaks about being commanded to live in a sukkah, right? Basukot teshvu shivat yamim, right? I don't know what to do with this. The tzivisi leishev is very difficult, but I'd assume that Rashi means that you have to make a sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkah, and the mitzvah of sukkah is fulfilled when one sits in a sukkah and is cognizant of why the sukkah was built way back when. Right? In other words, I'm not sure if I think I'm saying a little bit more than what Zoe was saying, but I think what Rashi's getting at is that we're talking about the mitzvah of Binyan Sukkah, but the mitzvah of Binyan Sukkah is I should build the type of sukkah that when one sits in that sukkah, one should be aware that the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah is because we sat in the sukkah when we left Mitzrayim. Now already we're getting somewhere. Continuing the Rashi. Right? Tzivisi leishev hachi darish lei. I think what that would mean is Rashi saying that this is like an additional level of interpretation. Afogav de em mikra yotze midei pshuto de hekef anane kavod miu darshin lei lejrasha. Okay, deep breath. Who wants to take a stab at what Rashi's saying over here? Ein mikra yotein midei pshuto. But still the drasha is correct. So what's pashup shat in the pasuk?
It's got nothing to do with ananei hakavod.
Well, that's not what Rashi says.
It is
ananei hakavod. Rashi says pashup shat in the pasuk.
Oh, that it is.
Is that it is ananei hakavod. We sit in the sukkah to commemorate ananei hakavod. I don't know. Push up shot, right? That's what Rashi writes.
Even though it's not found in the text, it's the proper understanding of this pasuk is that it's ananei
hakavod. Like I'm not sure if Rashi is just saying proper understanding. Rashi is saying, Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto dehekef ananei hakavod. The push up shot. Simple. Even though the pshuto shel mikra of ananei hakavod is correct, we're also using the pasuk for the drasha that tells me that you should be aware that you're sitting in the sukkah. Even though pshuto shel mikra means that Hashem put us in sukkos of ananei hakavod, nonetheless, leman yedu darotechem means an additional level of interpretation of the pasuk is that when you sit in the sukkah, you should know that you're sitting in a sukkah of a mitzvah. Simple meaning of the pasuk is that leman yedu darotechem, that in future generations we should remember ananei hakavod. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is going back in time, but in the present, the drasha of the pasuk is in the present, when I sit in the sukkah, I should be aware that I am sitting in a sukkah of a mitzvah. Okay. Now, there seems to be a lot of double talk. Let me just throw something out there. There's a famous Bach. The beginning of Siman Tov Reish Chaf Hei, the Bach tells me that when I sit in the sukkah, I only fulfill my mitzvah if I remember the Anane HaKavod. Right? The Bach is bothered by the question, how come the Torah begins Hilchos Sukkah by telling us that the sukkahs that we sat in when we left Mitzrayim was Anane HaKavod? The Bach asks, like, why do you need that? So if it would be the Rambam, so the Rambam likes to begin with like some history. But the Torah isn't into history. The Rambam also wasn't into history, according to Professor Tversky. The Rambam thought philosophy is an important discipline. History was kind of whatever. But but the Torah doesn't usually give history. So why does the Torah say Anane HaKavod? So the Bach says, because in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to be aware that you're sitting in the sukkah to remember the Anane HaKavod. My read of Rashi is that Rashi is against the Bach. In other words, I think, this is Schwartz, so if you don't like it, bevakasha. But I think what Rashi is saying is that, yes, Pshuto Shel Mikra is because of Anane HaKavod. But when I sit in the sukkah, all I need, according to Rabbah, is that yeshivatani keret lecha, that I should be aware that I'm sitting in a sukkah like the mitzvah of Hashem. And the way I'm aware that I'm sitting in a sukkah like the mitzvah of Hashem is I see the schach. If it's above 20, I don't see the schach. So it's not a sukkah that fulfills the idea of remembering that Hashem gave us a mitzvah. I'm not reading Rashi that he's saying that I have to remember the Anane HaKavod. I think Rashi is splitting between Pshuto Shel Mikra and the Halacha. Now, why on earth would Pshuto Shel Mikra be Anane HaKavod? Why is it not Sukkos Mamish? So I think what's motivating Rashi's understanding of Pshuto Shel Mikra is as follows. Presumably, if Hashem is giving us a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, that's to remember some miracle. The fact that I sat in a hut ain't much of a miracle. Right? People build huts all the time, and maybe... Right? People build huts all the time, it's not much of a miracle. The fact that Hashem gives us a yontiv is to commemorate a miracle, and therefore, it would have to be Anane HaKavod.
But the word Hoshavti also indicate that it's Anane HaKavod more than
so just... The word Hoshavti sounds more Anane HaKavod, that Hashem did it. It's not that Kibasukot Yashavnu, right? Mm-hmm. It's that Hashem did it. Although Hoshavti might mean that Hashem enabled us to do it, like all things in life. I don't know. Now, what's interesting according to this pshat, Yael?
Well, if you're, I'm just confused because we said that sitting in the sukkah, we said in the sukkah you remember a miracle, and if what is that miracle? It must be Anane HaKavod.
Because sukkah's mamish isn't a miracle.
But that doesn't seem so lehalacha. That seems a lot more like trying to understand the bottom, like where everything's coming from. That seems to.
Right. I think according to Rashi, it's not lehalacha. Pshuto Shel Mikra. Again, this is a much longer conversation, but Pasha Pshat in the Torah is not halachic necessarily.
Wait, but it seems like it's just interesting that if we're, I feel like we usually, we are not focusing on, we're here, we're separating like the kind of like what could be like an underlying reason from the whole halachic process, which is interesting.
Right, it is interesting. This is one of the great mysteries. Rav Cooperman from Michlala like wrote a bunch of books on this topic about like the impact of Pshuto Shel Mikra on Halacha or not. I think at least this Rashi seems to be dividing between them. There's Pshuto Shel Mikra, and then there's Halacha. Right? So the Halacha is, be cognizant of the fact that you're sitting in a sukkah, and all Rashi is saying is that it has to be tzivisi leishev, that you're sitting in the sukkah of a mitzvah. That's the way I want to read Rashi. The fact that Rashi says that Pshuto Shamikra is Anane HaKavod is probably because it has to be miraculous. And my only ha'ari about this is, I think the Bechor Shor, in his commentary Al HaTorah, and for some reason the Chaya Adam thought of this on his own, they say that maybe Sukkos Mamish was also miraculous. Then when Bnei Yisrael were going to fight against Midian, so the Bechor Shor writes that they camped out the night before in Sukkos Mamish, and then the next day they start their war, and there is some miracle that the enemy didn't see us when we're like building these huts and we're about to start a war. That's why the Bechor Shor understands it, which would make Sukkos Mamish also miraculous, but okay. Zozain. Yes?
Is this distinction you're making between the Rashi and the Bar, it's like parallel to the conversation about what kavanah we need to have to fulfill a mitzvah in general? Like, do you need to just be aware of the fact that you're doing a mitzvah?
Right.
Or do you need to be aware of the reasons and what you're doing and why?
So, it's somewhat parallel, but somewhat not. In other words, the Bach is saying that ordinarily when I do a mitzvah, and we pask in that for mitzvahs d'oraisa, and Shochanach and Simin Samach, and Archaim Simin Samach, we say that for mitzvahs d'oraisa, mitzvahs shvichas kavana, all that means is that I have to realize that the act I'm doing is religiously significant, but I don't have to be aware of the deeper meaning behind the mitzvah. There are three times when I have to be aware of the deeper meaning behind the mitzvah, says the Bach, and those are three times when the Torah uses the word lema'an. It says Lama'an Yedu Derotechem by Sukkah. It says Lama'an Tia Taras Hashem Beficha by the mitzvah of Tefillin. And it says Lama'an Tiskeru Vasisim is called Mitzvah Hashem by the mitzvah of Tzitzis. By those three mitzvahs, the Bach says you have to have the reasoning in mind. Whether we hold like the Bach or not is a question. There's a lot of literature about that, but I'm just pointing out that I don't think Rashi really holds like the Bach, although Rashi is setting it up the same way the Bach sets it up, but for Rashi there's a pitzul, there's a split in the middle. Good. Now, this idea that I have to be aware that I'm sitting in Schach, and if it's above 20, I'm not aware I'm sitting in Schach. Can I fulfill the mitzvah sukkah if I'm blind? Rachman Litzlan. Or let's say I have a sukkah over 20 amos, but I have a high chair, and I'm sitting really high up. Do I fulfill the mitzvah sukkah then?
Well, you had to use the word hafta. So
So I think these indicate that the din is a din in the hafta of the sukkah, and as such, even though Rachman son, I'm blind, even though I'm sitting in a high chair, it doesn't matter. It's halach in the hafta of the sukkah. And this seems to be indicated from the fact that the Mishnah uses a lashon psula. Sukkah she gavayi l'malo me'esrim amos psula. It sounds like the cheftza of the sukkah is pasul, etc. That is the way, that's the way Rabbah is understood. That's the comment of Rabbah on the, in the Gemara. Okay. Let's go weiter for a minute. Let's go on. 1 second. Oh, next question. The first Mishnah says a sukkah above 20 amos is pasul, and according to Reb Yehuda, it's kasher. Okay, why would Reb Yehuda say a sukkah over 20 amos is kasher according to Rabbah's reasoning? Right, we're just taking the Amoraim and stooping it back into the Mishnah. So according to Reb Yehuda, right, a sukkah over 20 is kosher. Don't I have to know that I'm sitting in the sukkah? Don't I have to be aware of the schach? How could it be kosher according to Reb Yehuda?
We saw it in the Ritva.
What? The Ritva is saying something interesting. If I remember correctly, the Ritva is saying that Rabbah has an advantage over the other Amoraim in explaining the Mishnah, because according to Rabbah, the halacha of Sukkah is the same as the halacha of Mavoi. Right? Last time we learned, we spoke about that a mavoi over 20 amos is no good. For Rabbah, it's exactly the same halacha. The halacha is that I have to be aware of the item, whether that item is schach or that item is mavoi. That is the way.
He just says that. Little sentence here. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Machsher, Mekevan Sharo'oi Lasos Tzel, Kemash, under the Abaye, right? It's not a different Amaskal for Abaye, but Rabbi Yehuda Machsher, Mekevan Sharo'oi Lasos Tzel, Kemash, Pilin Oso,
Kedabrishnabim Lasos. Right, so.
So that fits in with Rabbah, even though he puts it
under. The Ritva is saying it within Abaye, who is asking a question on Reb Zera.
But once you lower it, it has that.
So since I could lower it, so again, it certainly is possible. I think the Ritva might be addressing it, but the approach I preferred is I sent you to this comment of Rabbi Yehuda ben Brechia on the side of the Rif. If you'd ask me who Rabbi Yehuda ben Brechia is, I don't know. I probably should have looked him up before this year. I don't remember. Apparently, Rabbi J.J. Schachter. President Ari Berman mentioned that when he was the first rabbinic intern, then the assistant rabbi in the Jewish Center under Rabbi Schachter. So Rabbi Schachter gave him Musar that apparently he once gave a shir, and he quoted somebody, and Rabbi Schachter didn't explain to people who that somebody was. That you have to. It's. I think it's actually important, and Oshamnu, Bagadnu, Gozalnu, but I don't know who the Rebbe is. But what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Brechia say? Adam yodea shu dar besuka, you see it? Lefi shehu ro'et hamid et hasikuch. The impression you get from Yehuda ben Brechia's comment is that the Tanakhama says a sukkah over 20 is not kosher because you don't tamid, you don't always see the schach. But Rabbi Yehuda the Tana might say, okay, I don't see it always, but I can see it, no?
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you have ever walked down 34th Street. There's a large building over there. You can see it. You know, you crane your neck and you stretch up and like you can see it, but you don't see a tamid. And perhaps everyone, according to this Hesber, everyone holds of this idea of Laman Yedu Daroseichem. You're not Yotze the mitzvah of Sukkah unless you are aware that you are enclosed by Schach. But how aware do I have to be? Do I have to see a Tamid? Or maybe, even if it's not Tamid, right, maybe just because I could be aware that's enough. Now, this chakira is interesting. I'm totally blanking on your name again. I'm sorry.
Tanya.
Huh?
Tanya,
right? So what Tanya is saying, referring to that ritva, this same chakira in other terms, does it have to be possible or does it have to be in reality, is a chakira that we will talk about within the other shitos, within Reb Zera and then Rava.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps what we're trying to do now is say that within Rabbah, the Machlokas Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim relates to, do you have to be aware of the Schach constantly or possibly aware of the Schach? That's the way I would suggest it, based on this Rivav. Okay, weiter. So that's the first Shita. That is the Shita of Rabbah. What about Reb Zera? So Reb Zera learns from a pasuk in Yeshaya, Besukatia Letzio Yoma Mechorev. And we have this idea that until 20 amos, you're in the Tzeil Sukkah. Above 20 amos, you're not in the Tzeil Sukkah, you're in the Tzeil Defanot. Then Abaye asks, he says, one second, so if I have to be in Tzeil Sukkah, so if I build my Sukkah in a valley, a deep valley, where there are tall mountains around it, are you going to tell me that I'm not Yotze? Because ultimately the shade is not coming from the Schach. So the Gemara says, no. Megdal Ashtarot Karnayim, forget about that big mountain. Who needs the big mountain? Just like ignore it. And you would have Tzeil Schach anyway. Okay, got it. Now, there is a little bit of a problem here that the Ritva raises. You see, is it possible to not have tzeil defanot? Is that possible?
Yeah.
How?
Three strings.
What?
Three strings.
Okay, in other words, Zoe is thinking like a very lumdish sort of way. So let's say I build like these halachic defanos that don't really provide any shade, right? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have three strings and like...
like poles and strings.
Poles and strings, gewaldig, right? Perfectly kosher sukkah. And I always was so tempted to do this, to build the type of sukkah that like people would show up and like... what is that? Like, it would be so much fun. Beautiful. Of course, I'm also like a weird person that when I was getting married, so I told my wife that maybe we should have like a fun chuppah, that maybe I should be mekadesh or with kelev ratzach areha, and to me, and my wife said something to the effect of, you know, you're really crazy. Like, yeah, I got that. But... I think having fun in Yiddishkeit is important. But, okay. I also had an idea of who to be mechaber as the kelev. But that would have been a little too exciting. Okay. So Reb Zeira says that you have to sit in the tzeil sukkah, not the tzeil defanos. It raises a bit of a problem, because the sun is not directly overhead unless it is high noon. And even at high noon, the sun is not directly overhead unless basically you're at the equator. Right? The sun is never going to be directly overhead. What that probably means is that you're always getting tzeil defanos. And if that's the case, I'm always getting tzeil defanos. So what exactly is Reb Zeira trying to say? That you need tzeil schach, not tzeil defanos. You always have tzeil defanos. What does it mean? So, it's a kasha. It is a kasha. I think the Ritva tries to deal with this. Someone sent the Ritva around. It's on the top of page 9 in the Ritva. Tzeil schach has to be b'chetzi hayom, shashemesh mahalach be'emta rakia, v'ra'oi schach lahatzeil. The schach could give shade. If it's before noon or afternoon, the schach doesn't matter. So effectively for the Ritva, this entire Gemara is only speaking about high noon. And at high noon, does the schach give shade or not? So we're really narrowing the statement of Reb Zeira. Then he's bothered by the kasha. What do you mean? If it's high noon, even if the schach is above 20... it's going to still give some sort of shade, no? So, not exactly clear what he's dealing with, or what the Ritva ultimately says. I think what he means is that even at high noon, Chazal are saying that the tzeil from the schach, if the schach is above 20, it won't give shade. And that probably means that there is a certain shi'ur of shade. Now, again, I can't tell you that the Ritva is really saying this. This might be my own, like, sometimes, you know, you read a Rishon and you come up with your own ideas and you try to blame them on the Rishon. I doubt the Ritva is really saying it, but he might mean something to the effect of that you need a certain amount of shade from the schach. In other words, that there obviously is going to be some shade from the Defanos, some shade from the Schach. There's like some proportion. But the Schach has to contribute some statistically significant amount of shade. And above 20 Amos, the Schach is not really contributing any significant amount of shade. That's the way I'm interpreting the Ritva. Be'ezras Hashem, when we get to Tosfos on Beis HaMibeis, and Tosfos Yesh Yoser Me'arba Amos, I think Tosfos has a line that I want to analyze in these terms. Tosfos speaks about Tseos Schach Porta. Right? So, I want to discuss that then, but for the time being, let's just, let's hold it, and we'll come back to it. Let's learn the Rashi. Ela b'tzeil defanos. It's like six lines before the lines get wide. Ela b'tzeil defanos, zakt Rashi. Again, if it's above 20 amos, so my shade comes from the walls. Rashi writes, shatzlolem magiyin zelozem mitoch govan shel defanot, ve'ein tzarech schach. Who wants to understand, who wants to comment on Rashi? One thing I'll tell you is I think Rashi is not saying what the Ritva says, but what is Rashi saying?
It's not necessarily about a certain amount of shade from Schach, but just any, like, any amount.
Any amount of shade from Schach is enough, right?
Yeah.
But if the walls are above 20, so I think what Rashi is saying is that the shade from wall A will touch the shade from wall B. The entire sukkah will be shaded from the walls. If it's under 20, so there's going to be a tiny amount of area that the walls are not contributing shade, and the schach is contributing shade. And that's enough. As long as the schach is contributing some shade, so I need the schach. I need the schach for that tiny, that micron area that the walls would not be contributing shade to. Again, I think that's what Rashi is saying, and therefore it doesn't really matter what time of day it is or not, because even if it's at another time besides noon, so yes, the walls are giving shade. Of course they are. But still, I get some shade from the overhead. And that's kosher according to the Rashi. So I think according to Rashi, as long as I could say it's tzarech schach, as long as you need schach to contribute some shade somewhere, that's good enough. Hello, Hannah.
So is it that he's reading the Gemara thing where it says Adam Yoshev Betzel Sukkah, as in it's possible for Adam Yoshev Betzel Sukkah, but more than that, it's not possible for Adam Yoshev Betzel Sukkah?
So above 20 Amos, by definition, I am not Yoshev Betzel Schach, Betzel Sukkah, because the walls will have the shadows touch each other.
There's never going to be even a little to sit in, whereas if it's higher...
Again, if you're asking from Mitzius, I can't answer.
Yeah.
Like,
why can't you have a massive sukkah? Yeah.
I don't know. And like, what Zoe said before, let's say I have glass walls in the sukkah, I have string. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, you know?
So how would Rabbi Yehuda get around this?
How would Rabbi Yehuda get around this? Right now, as Rabbi Yehuda says, that the sukkah is going to be kosher...
The schach isn't necessary.
So I don't need the schach, but Rabbi Yehuda might say that, okay, you don't need the shade from the schach, but push comes to shove, are you getting some shade to the schach? Meaning, the schach is making it darker. The schach is contributing a bit of shadiness, and Rabbi Yehuda says that's enough. The Tanakhama holds, no, the schach has to contribute something that's necessary. It has to be the tzarech schach. That there's one part of the sukkah where the there's one part of the sukkah that, if not for the schach, would not be shaded. That's Rashi. Now, here's the problem, though. Let's go weiter in the Gemara. Abaya has a question. Abaya says, one second. If you build a sukkah in Ashtaros Karnayim, so you're not getting shade from the schach. So the Gemara answers, oh, dal Ashtaros Karnayim mehacha. No? Forget about the Ashtaros Karnayim, meaning you could get shade from the schach in theory. You don't have to befoal get shade from the schach, but in theory that's enough. Well, doesn't that go against Rashi? Because Rashi writes that the idea is that you have to be tzarech l'schach. If I'm in Ashtaros Karnayim, I'm not tzarech schach. Because in Ashtaros Karnayim, right, I have as much shade as I want. So I'm not sure what to do with this. I think the reality is in Ashtaros Karnayim, it could be, I don't need any shade from the schach because the mountains are so tall, it's completely shaded. So I saw in that sefer, the Shirim of the Mira Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Elia Baruch Finkel, he has the following idea. Again, I'm not sure that Rashi works this way, but he thinks that Rashi's line of tzarech schach is only true before Reb Zera responded to Abaye's question. After Abaye's question and Reb Zera's answer, so Lamaisa, you don't need tzarech schach. All you need is, in theory, could it give shade? And then what I would say is, according to the Tanakhama, a sukkah over 20, in theory, can't give shade. But the Tana Reb Yehuda would say, no, even if it's above 20, in theory, the schach could give shade if you lower it down. Mali to say, ignore the big mountains around me, or Mali to say, oh, lower it. Drop the ceiling. Right? I think that might be the dispute between Reb Yehuda. The only point I'm trying to make is that Rashi's comment of Ein Tzarech Schach is a very hard thing to swallow once I have Ashtaros Karnayim in the Gemara. Because Ashtaros Karnayim tells me it's never Tzarech L'Schach. Right? Okay.
Can I just ask you a question about how Gemara works?
You can. I probably won't know the answer.
No, but what you just said from the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, about like Rabbi Zeir refines his answer in response to the Elameata of Abaye.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something we see, or is it usually just after an Elameata we get a restatement of it? Is it refining of the answer?
So I would say that if we're dealing with Amoraim of the same generation, so there is a refining. In other words, I'm very happy I'm not giving this year in the base medrash down the street, but if you're into academic Talmud and you have this idea of like the Stam editor, so that makes sense when we're not talking about people speaking to each other. And then what we're trying to do is we're trying to read the Amora's mind. But I think Reb Zera and Abaya and Rav are the same generation. They're talking to each other. And if they're talking to each other, it's very reasonable that Reb Zeir is changing his mind. That's what I'll say. Hello.
Hi.
One second. You're in the...
Shoshana.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
The way Rashi understands Ashtaros Karnayim is not necessarily that the mountains are providing shade. It's just that there's a lack of sun. So maybe that's why it might make sense.
Okay, so I'm going to push you on this. What's the difference between a lack of sun and shade?
Because it's not that something else is providing the shade. It's just that there's no sun the same way, like on a really cloudy day. I don't know. So maybe that's what that type of, like, in theory is fine.
Again, I'm not an expert in reality, but it would seem to me that, like, if you're in a very deep valley, that you're actually getting shade from the mountains on the side of you. It's not that there's no, it's not like the same as clouds. Clouds is something above, right? So the sun doesn't penetrate. Over here, there is sun, but the sun is being blocked by the mountains at the side, as opposed to the sun not penetrating. Right? The shade means that there is sun that's being refracted. Is that correct? I think
makes sense.
I don't know. Okay, I think. Rava says that we learn from the pasuk Basukot Teshu Shabbat Yamim. That tells me somehow that a sukkah has to be arai, not keva. Over 20 amos, the sukkah is keva. Less than 20 amos, it is arai. Again, Abaye asks. He says, 1 second. So if I make a sukkah with iron walls, so that's keva. So Gemara gives the same type of answer. Yeah, well, you could use some other material for the wall, so it could be arai. It's like the same type of thing that we have by Ashtarot Karnaim. Okay, let's just take this apart briefly. How does Rava see from the pasuk Basukot Teshu Shivat Yamim that it has to be arai?
Dafke Shivat Yamim.
Dafke Shivat Yamim. Right? In other words, the Torah is saying, it's almost like the Ritva learns it like this. He kind of reads the pasuk with a scalpel. The Torah could have said Teshvu Shivat Yamim Basukot. Instead, it says Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim, implying that the sukkah is for yeshiva of Zayin Yamim, implying that the sukkah is temporary. So the Aruch Lanier says, 1 second, like, say that again slowly. It doesn't make any sense. No, like the Ritva says, oh, had the Torah written, if it would say Teshu Shivat Yamim Basukot, then it would mean the sukkah is somehow permanent. Now it says Basukot Teshu Shivat Yamim, that means the sukkah is 7 days. I still don't understand it. The Aruch Lanier asks, like, still doesn't make sense. So the Aruch Lanier has a different suggestion, which is that the entire pasuk is extra. Basukot Teshu Shivat Yamim Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael Yeshivu Basukos. Right? So Torah could just say Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael Yeshivu Basukos. Sit in the sukkah. Right?
Or for how long?
What?
But for how long?
So the Torah could write Shivas Yamim Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael Yeshivu Basukos.
Sure.
Right? Or Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael Yeshivu Basukos Shivas Yamim. The whole beginning of that pasuk Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim is extra. So when I have something extra, I play with it. And I say, oh, well, since the Torah doesn't need to say it, obviously the Torah is telling me that there is Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, meaning the sukkah is a sukkah that's temporary, it's a sukkah of Shivas Yamim. Alternatively, I forgot where I saw this, the word sukkah as opposed to bias implies something that is temporary. A bayis is a home. A sukkah is a hut. Huts are temporary. So just what Rava's getting at is it's arai. Okay, understood. It's arai that sukkos teshu shivas yomim, it has to be a sukkah that is arai, not keva. And again, what the Gemara says, the Ritva comments that there are two ways of learning this Gemara. One possibility is that if it's above 20, it cannot be arai ever. No one builds skyscrapers to be arai. If it's really tall, by definition, it's keva. It's not arai. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that over 20 could be arai, but normally, it isn't. Yeah, the two possibilities in the Ritva basically begin with, is it possible to have arai over 20? Right, that's one approach. The approach one is that it's impossible to have arai over 20. Approach two is that it is possible, but it's not likely. It's not usual. Of course, the converse, in terms of a sukkah under 20, does that mean that by definition that is considered temporary? Or does it mean, no, it usually is temporary? Right? The two possibilities, that the Ritva talks about above 20 were also relevant for under 20. Now, what about Reb Yehuda? Why is Reb Yehuda machshir a sukkah over 20? So that the Gemara is going to say later on that Reb Yehuda actually holds that sukkah is diras keva, not diras arai, and the nafkamina is you have to put a mezuzah on your sukkah. Mm. Right? The Gemara will discuss this second daf zayin. According to Reb Yehuda, right? So approach of Rava seems to the approach of Rava seems to make a lot of sense in that the Tanakhama says a sukkah is diras arai. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says it's a sukkah of diras keva. By the way, if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Gemara, he takes the approach out above 20 amos by definition is diras keva.
Okay.
Right, that is, again, in my Gemara, it's like four lines before the lines get wide in the Rabbi Nuchananel. Now, Tosfos over here raises a question. Did you have a chance to read the Tosfos Ki Oven?
No.
Okay. So, I think what we're going to do is, because the Olam didn't read this Tosfos yet, maybe next week, Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll begin with this Tosfos. And there's a lot to say about it. I'll probably give some additional Marim Makomos on this Tosfos and then go on. But I think last time we learned, we got the guards somewhat upset that. So maybe we'll pause now. And if people are happy with us, we're in a better place in life. Okay. Go ahead. Thank you for listening, Clever.